Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, speaking with Michael Yon. Michael Yon can be found, his travels can be found on locals.com/Michael Yon. Michael is in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. He is very near the Russian frontier. What is happening in Vilnius is a warning to the rest of Western Europe, because Belarus is pushing migrants who are brought in by aircraft across the Belarus-Lithuanian border into the European Union. Michael has been in Vilnius for some days now, seeing commonplace migrants from other parts of the world who've been pushed into the EU and are not being returned by Lithuania, are being processed, and then they can continue to the rest of the EU and perhaps more. However, we begin with the virus report, because Delta variant is now dominant in the U.S., in Israel, in Great Britain, and in Paris, and throughout the European Union. Michael, good day to you in Vilnius. What do you see of precautions about the Delta variant in Vilnius? Are people masked? Are they obeying social distancing? Are you challenged when you go into a restaurant to demonstrate that you've been vaccinated or tested? Good day to you, Michael.
Good day from Vilnius. I've been walking around today looking at the artwork and ducking into bookstores, as I do when I go to other countries. And almost nobody's wearing a mask outside. Inside, most people will wear a mask, you know, as they walk in the door, but the restaurants, nobody's wearing masks. The waiters and waitresses will wear masks. But that's it. I mean, really, there's no strict, I mean, this is an educated culture as well. They're not illiterate and waiting for, you know, something to hit them on the head. But they're kind of over it. I mean, as you've mentioned before, kind of an inshallah attitude, and they're more concerned about migrants. That's what's on the tip of everybody's tongue.
All right, let's go to the migrants, because when we last spoke, you had conversations on the street with a few people who are clearly from other parts of the world, who have been introduced into Lithuania by state security of Belarus. I remind everybody that Belarus is a client state of the Russian Federation. So these stories can be conjoined. The concern of the Baltic states of the threat of the Russian Federation, a.k.a. the Soviet Union, a.k.a. the Russian Empire. And also these migrants who are being pushed across the border and are now wandering in Vilnius. Where are they from, Michael? Can you generalize? What do you see?
The ones that are easiest for me to spot are from Africa. And then, you know, a very few Pakistanis and that sort of thing, certainly fewer than 1% of the people on the ground. And I sit out there for hours every day drinking tea and coffee and talking with people, watching people go by. It's certainly fewer than 1% do not look, say, Lithuanian or Polish or of that sort of origin. And I talk with quite a few, for instance, Pakistanis and others. And many of those don't want to be here. They want to be off in, for instance, in the United Kingdom or the United States. This is not – they don't have a big sort of ghetto here. There's no – I call them anthroinsula, you know, human islands. They don't, there's no place where all the Pakistanis live or that sort of thing. So there's just no community of foreigners who haven't already been here for centuries.
How does this compare? You were recently in Athens, traveling to the Turkish frontier, where migrants make their way into the EU, crossing the Greek-Turkish border. How does the situation in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania, compare to the situation in Athens, the capital of Greece, as far as migrants on the street?
Oh, many more in Greece on the streets, not just Athens, but in other places that we were at. You know, and the attitudes are quite sharp against the migrants in Greece, as well as in Morocco. I was just in Morocco similarly, and also Spain, that the attitudes are, you know, because there's many more. And here, that's what they're afraid of. They know they've got, what 2.8 million or so people here. They don't have a lot of Lithuanians. And actually, a lot of the people that you would call Lithuanians are actually of a different origin to begin with. So, yeah, they're worried about the 100 to 150 a day that are said to be coming over there. 422-mile border with Belarus, and Belarus is acting as a pump to push them in here.
All except Venezuelans, who have backgrounds that connect them to the Baltic states. Correct, Michael? All Venezuelans with family members, no matter how far back, who can be connected to Lithuania or the Baltic states are welcome to emigrate. Is that correct?
That's what I was told by a Lithuanian government worker at one of the camps. That they were, you know, if you've got Lithuanian background, it's similar with, you know, Poland or Germany or Israel. If you can prove that you have a background that's favored, then you'll be let in immediately and given citizenship. I'm not sure how many Venezuelans are actually coming in. I did ask, but did not get a specific number. But I did see that, for instance, when there was a map inside the camp of all the countries that people are coming from, and that's when I saw Venezuela, and I said, Venezuela, how are they getting here? And that's when the lady said, oh, many people of Lithuanian descent are in Venezuela.
I wonder, Michael, whether those young Venezuelan men that you met in Bio Chiquito, the village, the Umbera village in the Darien Gap, I wonder if they know, with Lithuanian background, they don't have to try to get into the United States. They can go immediately into the European Union. No matter their ambitions of remittances home, they're welcome in Baltic states. I mentioned to everybody listening to us or this podcast, when it makes its way to South America, that you're welcome in the EU, at least the Baltic states part. Now let's go to the more profound challenge to Lithuania, which is its sovereignty. The news says that some fortnight ago, Belarus, Minsk, sent home all Lithuanian diplomats, and Lithuania responded by sending home all Belarusian Minsk diplomats. These people share a border. In many instances, they're the same people, both sides. It's just that one side is on the side that's associated with the Russian Federation. What is the present understanding of Russia and its plans? What does the Lithuanian military make of the war exercises that Russia runs routinely in Belarus?
Well, they're very worried, extremely worried. You know, the Lithuanians is who I'm speaking about. The Lithuanians, you know, who were under the boot of the Russians and then the Nazis and then the Russians again, are very concerned that they'll be, for instance, that the migrants will be used as an infiltration route to infiltrate Russian or Belarusian soldiers who then will be armed after they get in here. And that's why, you know, I'm holding a book in my hand that was given to me by a Lithuanian army officer a few days ago. We Could Not But Resist Genocide is the title of the book. They're planning on a resistance operation if they're invaded, because they realize, I mean, they don't have any tanks. They don't have any serious artillery. They don't have any serious aircraft. They don't really have any serious defenses at all, except their alliance with the United States, because they know Poland is really unable to help them if they would. And certainly NATO as a whole is basically worthless. The only real defense mechanism they have is an alliance with the United States. And actually, I see the former commander of European forces, Ben Hodges, whom I know from Afghanistan. I see he's quite involved and quite popular around Lithuania and Poland. And, you know, he's retired now, but, you know, their relationships with American journalists and American military people and intelligence community are very important to Lithuania.
Michael, is this a threat, a cyber threat, such as Washington is now talking about Russia launching ransomware and other bad acting against the U.S. digital operations? Or is this a physical invasion that the Lithuanian military fears?
Oh, both. Both. And, you know, for instance, I had a meeting yesterday with an officer, and we talked about invasion. And he said one of the things that we're concerned about is the Russians will invade, and the United States will certainly not have time to respond. And by the time the United States could do any response whatsoever, the Russians will just hold in place and say, let's negotiate. And basically, after having seized a great deal of Lithuanian territory, you know, the old communist tactic, talk, 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 fight, fight, fight. They're also worried about the Astravec. The Lithuanians are worried about the Astravec nuclear power plant, which is over in Belarus, which is only, I calculated the other day, 56 kilometers from where I'm at now. And in fact, I went up on a TV antenna to spot it, and I couldn't see it. But it's they're very worried about that nuclear plant being used, for instance, just an information war. For instance, saying that they've had a leak, not saying that they've had, but leaking it out and causing Vilnius to, you know, everybody to depart the cities and head for Poland, that sort of thing. They're very worried about information war that can be based on, like, that nuclear plant and other factors.
Michael Yon, locals.com/Michael Yon for his reporting. He's on the Russian Federation frontier at the capital of Lithuania, Vilnius. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's black bean burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook. Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.